some things are happening as we continue the story of Abraham, Sarah, and their son Isaac, which means laughter. Last week we talked about the testing that God put Abraham through to take him to the top of Mount Moriah, to the very peak of the mountain, and there to offer him up as a burnt sacrifice to himself. And at the last moment, God stopped Abraham from harming the boy. We learned last week that this exact location would be the place 1,000 years later where they would hang Jesus Christ. And this time, God didn't stop, but he allowed the Son to be sacrificed for the payment of all of our sins. And just a beautiful... So we're seeing that the life of Isaac and Abraham and Sarah, that they're foreshadowings of the life of Jesus. And we're saying just the gospel message worked out, here we go, 1,000 years before, you know, God did the real deal on Gethsemane. So here we have, the servant has been sent out. Abraham does not want his son to marry these foreign girls, these Canaanites. He's living in the land of Canaan right now. That ultimately will be, right now, it's Canaanites. Who do you think lives in Canaan? People that are descendants of Cain. Cain, all right? Cain was not of the promise, all right? He was the one who murdered his brother because he was jealous. First of all, he was lazy and didn't provide the offering that God had demanded. He just gave him something easier. And then rather than correct his error, he just found it more convenient to murder his brother. You know, people talk about how dangerous it is today. So much more dangerous today than it was years and years ago. Well, I'll tell you where a dangerous place to live would have been. The Garden of Eden. You had four people living in the garden, and in one day, one of them killed off 25% of the population. You had a 3 out of 4 chance of surviving the day. Okay, if you live, we have a little bit better odds here in Katy, Texas. All right, and so. At any rate, so Abraham wants the best. He doesn't want his son marrying some of these descendants of Cain that has a lasting stain on the whole bloodline. He wants what's best for his son. And so he sends his best servant out and also sends out a detachment of his own personal army. You know, people like to think about, oh, here's Abraham and Sarah, and they're living in this little tent, and, you know, all of this is, you know, they're just got a few sheep and not much is going on. Nah, there are dozens and dozens and dozens of people. They probably have a standing army of around 100 young men at arms, and then you have to, all the camels that they have when they pack up and move is just not, throw it all in a bag and let's go. They have a whole herd of camels to throw everything on and move from one location to the next. And so, Abraham goes ahead and he loads up his camels. And he takes his young men of war with the favored servant, the most trusted servant. I want you to go out and I want you to find a wife for my son. And it is so interesting that when this man goes out, you talk about being the servant of the master. I mean, here's somebody who is showing up with an army behind him, and he could be saying, I've been tasked with doing this and that, and I've got to do this and I've got to do that. But he's very humble about himself. He says, I'm here to serve my master. And I am praying to the God of my master, that the God of my master will show me, there's a lot of pretty young girls running around. How do you find the right one? And, if you're successful, yes, pat on the back, rewards and stuff like that. But if you bring back one that just turns everybody's life into a living hell, you know who everybody's going to be giving the old side eye to. Right? Okay. Yeah, send him out to do one thing, and he brings back this shrew who, is just making everybody's life miserable. But he's praying to Abraham's God. And he said, okay, I've got this idea. I want to go here to this well, and the young ladies are going to come out. That was their responsibility, to tote water back and forth from the well to the tents. And the young lady that comes out and without my asking offers to give me a drink out of her jar, then turns around and says, well, let me go ahead and pour water for your camels also. This is a giving young lady. Now, as I read into this story, because when she's sent off to go back with the servant, she's got nurse maid, she's got maid, she has, all these people that are traveling with her. Her daddy is no slouch also. Alright, this man is pretty wealthy. And so she has been raised in a household of, a house of means. You're not going to go without. You're not going to see too many nights when we go to bed hungry because there wasn't enough food. Amen? And so this is the family that she's from. And yet, what does she do? Here's the heart of this young lady. And she says, not only, here, sir, you've obviously traveled a long way. Here, take some of my water and drink it. And I tell you what, here, let me go ahead and take the big jar, and I want to pour water for your camels, too. To a perfect stranger. Amen? This was the type of a person that God would be able to use to carry on the bloodline. Because we're talking about the great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandmother of Jesus. Okay? And so that's who she does. So she says, why don't you gather up your men and your camels and everything, and let me take you home to my daddy. So they get to be there, come to find out he's kin to Abraham. And okay, so this is one of Abraham's requirements. I want someone who's from my family for my son. And so the servant gets up there, and here's his chance. He is supposed to sell Isaac now. Oh, he wants this family to entrust their daughter to him to take home to a man that they've never seen. And all that this servant can do is talk about the God of his master. The God of his master. You know, if you're going to be used by God, you have to understand who we need to be pointing to. It's not what we're able to do. It's what Jesus has already done in our lives. Amen? And so, all right, here we go. The decision is made. And I have an idea that it was probably already made in the young lady's mind, because the servant was basically giving her the dowry. All right, you didn't have cash money that you would endow the other family with. It was usually solid gold bangles and nose rings and stuff like that. And so this young lady is, Rebecca has got, several hundreds of thousands of dollars of gold just hanging on her now. And maybe the temptation is there, but she's from a wealthy family too, so maybe money wasn't a motivating factor. Maybe it was, man, if this is how God works in my life to bring me the man of his choosing for me, that this guy shows up with his thirsty camels. Now here we are having dinner together, and the next day, put her on a camel and take her back home. And as they're getting close to home, to where Abraham, to where Isaac is, we see Isaac, he sees the caravan coming, and he's out there walking towards it, and she asks the servant, who's this guy that's walking towards us? That's my master's son. That's your husband-to-be. And so what does she do? I like this. She puts the veil on her face. Alright? There's a right way to do something and a wrong way. She's not going to let her wealth and her whatever lifestyle take away from doing things the right way. She presents herself as the veiled maiden to her husband, and they didn't have big fancy weddings. Isaac looks at her, takes her into Mama's tent, and the next day, they are now married. But that begins a whole nother life story with Isaac and Rebecca, and we're going to learn more about that in the future. But I want you to see something. Because Rebecca made herself available. Look at it. My daddy's wealthy, but the responsibility of the woman of the family is We go out and we draw water for everybody and we carry it back to the house. She probably was surrounded by a bunch of her maids, much of her servants, that were helping her do it, but she wasn't above doing the work herself. And then when she, you know, here's this dirty, sweaty, old guy with a bunch of, I don't know if you've ever been up close to a camel, but there's not much nastier than a camel. And not only do they smell and act nasty, they just have nasty dispositions. Okay? And yet she is willing to put herself right in this situation. Can I get you something to drink? May I feed your camels? And what turns from being just a trip out to the well to get the water supplies restored back at the tent turns into the rest of her life. Amen? And again, to become the predecessor of the Savior. And that, you know, it was just that sweet heart. Almost like the heart of Mary, the mother of Christ. Be it unto your servant according to your will, is what Mary said. And so I would just, when we surrender ourselves to God and we look for the very best in each situation, then He is going to take what little bit we have and He's going to run with that and our lives are going to change. All she had to look forward to there, well, she'd be married off to some rich neighborhood kid, hopefully, or whatever. But now, look, she's now part of the bloodline. She's part of the what we call the crimson thread, the genealogy of Jesus throughout the Old Testament. She's now a part of what God is doing in this world. And so are we. Amen. When we surrender the same way. So Father God, I thank you.